So as our Savior Jesus was getting closer and closer to the cross, understanding what was going to take place outside of Jerusalem on Golgotha, realizing that more experientially, existentially, he started pointing his disciples to beyond and the last day of human history as we know it, and what judgment day will be like. And so today we continue in Matthew's Gospel chapter 15 with another snapshot of what that judgment day will look like when the last day of human history as we know it is fulfilled and forever is ushered in, and what takes place. And I'll explain that as we go through this. It's quite a powerful picture. This is Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So it's an awesome, awful day where here's Christ seated in front of the nations, anyone and everyone conceived among the human race, and he starts separating the sheep from the goats. Across all those nations, languages, races, there's only going to be two kinds of people. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. Verse 33. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Isn't it interesting? From the foundation of the world, this kingdom has been. God had in store those who would be a part of it. And he invites them, these sheep. Why does he invite them? Verse 35, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Boy, they're shocked. When did we see you? What happened? What did we miss? They were just going about their lives as sheep. Or should I turn this into a sermon on you better get involved in the food pantry and the rescue mission? Maybe you need to get involved in a prison ministry. Or maybe we need to talk about spiritual bondage and what that does to people. Or what it means to be serious about baptizing as many as we can, understanding that they need to be clothed with righteousness. Is that the point of this? No, the point of this is they're shocked because they didn't see Jesus in all the life that they were living as they were being sheep, just helping people when it made sense to do something that needed to be done. Jesus says it this way, verse 40, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So, anytime we're dealing with anybody else, could it be that that's Jesus? Is he behind their need, their struggle, their frustration, their nakedness, their imprisonment? It's hard to look for Jesus in the people around us. When I was out in Northern California, I-5 corridor, we got a lot of people that came through. I don't know how many times I spoke with someone whose name was Michael, and I'm thinking, you're kidding me. Am I entertaining angels, and I don't know that I'm entertaining angels here? Or do they just pick the name Michael because they know that might have some weight with a pastor who knows a little bit about the entertaining angels and God unawares? To think that all the interactions we have with people is to deal with Jesus unawares? Could it be? Well, the sheep are shocked. And Jesus simply says, it's however you dealt with the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. How many of us think about that? How we treat the people in our own home is how we're treating Jesus. And is it the appropriate way for us to treat Jesus? In our parenting, in our grandparenting, in our marriage relationship. It's hard to wrap our brain around this, but the truth is, they're not getting it, are they? They just got lost in their lives and actually engaged Jesus unaware of it. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. They were too busy just taking care of themselves, ensuring their own comfort, not caring about the people around them. Verse 44. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Excuses, excuses. On the last day, there will be plenty to justify, excuse, to defend, to justify. But not to any avail. Then he will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So what's the point? Get lost in your service to others, sheep, just like you've been. Just do what God has placed in your hearts and minds through his will and ways. And be a living testimony where you are learning to die to yourself in your sinful ways and just serving the people whose lives you touch, understanding that you might be entertaining angels or no one less than Jesus as you help out people who are in need in various ways, as you seek to make a difference, as you encourage people in your connections to get baptized, as you encourage people to take advantage of what you can do for them. And then to the goats, verse 46, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. One of the fundamental truths that God has in his word for us and for all generations is the truth that all of this will come to an end. And it's really no joke. It's the truth. More than just a liturgical stop along the way, it's a fundamental thing that we confess in our Apostles' Creed. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. And it's more than just a fire drill to be ready. It's also to look beyond it. During the season of Advent in our midweek opportunities, we're going to be looking at what God has promised beyond the resurrection, things for us to look forward to. When I was a kid, my dad said, when I get home, we're going fishing. Man, I was ready to go hours before. I might have needed some help with some hooks that got stuck in my fingers as well, but I couldn't wait to go. And far more is waiting us than something like that, by the Lord's own promise, according to his own word. And everything necessary for our salvation has been accomplished by Jesus. And trusting in his cross, we have our tickets to paradise paid in full. It's all done. The challenge is, who's on your mission list that you're praying for? Who are you ministering to, caring for? Who's going to be on it that you're not even going to be aware of? But that's what your life and my life is until that awesome day comes when we will stand with all those conceived among the nations and bear testimony to our reigning Christ, who even now, as the Good Shepherd, cares for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.